just see if this is working. I guess we're all right. Looks like I'm going to set this up here so I can see the that everything is working all right.
Well, that was a pretty exciting time when we put that curriculum through.
Yes, I can imagine it was.
There was a lot of controversy that had to be argued out. I had a pretty big part in it, actually, because they had decided ahead of time that they were going to put... Is that going to be all right?
This just monitors the tape. I just wanted to check.
And they had decided they were going to put it on an organ system basis, but the first year was going to be normal metabolism and so on, and cell biology. And then the second year would be pathological influence on metabolism and organ system. And so they finally convinced me to be chairman of this phase one committee. Well, I spent a lot of time, and everybody spent a lot of time that was on the phase one committee getting this thing planned. And it was sort of a political business to try to figure out what people wanted and how you were going to get them to accept the plan. So we set up what was called the... Well, first of all, I realized that after a while, nobody was going to vote for this thing unless they had some concrete example of what it was actually going to be like. And there was a Professor Wiggers here who was a very eminent professor, and he was in his last years. He of course didn't want to change, and I don't blame him. Why should you want to change your teaching in the last year or so? So he was strongly against it, probably for other reasons too, because there were other people that were against it as well. In fact, Carl Corey really crawled down my throat one time because he says, "You're taking biochemistry right out of biochemistry." Anyway, so we set up a committee called the Kidney Committee, representing that organ system. And these guys planned all the lectures, all the labs, how it was all going to go, and so on. And I think that... And I picked a guy from Wigger's department to chair the kidney committee, figuring, okay, I better get some support if I can there. Well, it turned out a fellow's name was Selkert, who later became a chairman in Indiana. And he did a good job, actually. Well, we got this thing pretty well organized for the first year. And but there were at least two or three heads that were not much in favor of it. Wiggers was one, and a couple others. So they appointed a committee to decide whether we should start or shouldn't start. And the doggone committee came back and said, "No, we have to wait a year." Well, I was pretty disgusted because I sure didn't want to spend another year horsing around trying to get everything lined up. And Hale Hamm was the chairman of the Committee on Education here. He was formerly from Harvard. Nice guy. Anyway, I went down to see him when he told me that, and I said, "Doggone it all. There's no committee going to say that we can't start. There's going to be a meeting of the faculty, and the faculty is going to decide whether we start. I can tell you who's against it right now. There's about seven guys for it and a couple against it," and so on. And he said, "No, we can't do that." I said, "Well, heck, we can. I'm going to call a meeting myself if I have to." And so I went over and saw Dean Wang, and the dean agreed that we should have a meeting. Well, I had the meeting, and Wiggers spoke against it, and some of the other guys, and I spoke for it. And the main thing was that they said you can't start this until you know it's going to work. Well, it was called an experiment in medical education. Now, in experiments, you don't know how things are going to work. You do an experiment, and then you change it accordingly. So that was my pitch. Okay. Well, of course, once you started, that meant the second year had to be ready in a year, too. And Alan Moritz was the professor of pathology, and he wasn't very, well, he wasn't strong for it at all. But he finally agreed that, okay, they would put it in just a position, the subjects, but not necessarily correlate. And, well, that way we got started. And it was really a rat race because they had to build the labs for the correlated teaching, and that was downstairs here. And the stuff arrived, the benches and stuff arrived the night before the classes were supposed to start. And Les Krampitz and I, they had it fixed so that these benches were all on rollers, and they plugged in, so that we rolled them in there and got them going. Well, that's starting at the wrong end.
Well, that's all right. We can come back to that, too.
You asked about early grade and high school education and teachers.
Well, yes. I was going to ask, you indicated that you were frail as a child, and that which later gave you an advantage, but I was wondering if that was due to an illness of some kind that...
I don't think I really had a serious illness of any kind. I can't really tell you. I think that I was kind of fragile in some ways or something. And I used to have headaches quite a lot. And so they did. I did spend 1 year and 2 years in the kindergarten and 2 years in the first grade. And and as I said in one of these books, I was the third in the family, and I had two older brothers who were good athletes and so on. And it was a big tradition in our family. You had to be out for athletics, and my dad was very interested in it. So in a way, it probably helped me because I got stronger. I never was as big as some of the other guys, but I got stronger anyway. And my older brother particularly was interested, and he more or less would coach me on, especially in track. I always wondered about this because we had a 20-acre farm, and he brought all the equipment out there. There was a discus out there, a shot put, a pole vaulting pole, javelin, anything. And he fixed up a jumping pit and so on. So, and he had hurdles out there. So I got to practice on all those things, high hurdles and low hurdles. And as a consequence, I think I got pretty good at it because of this. And of course, in football, they were always playing touch tag and stuff like that.
You had to walk about a mile to the grade school, is that?
I usually ran to the grade school. We had to come home at noon to water the horses and the cows and so on. That was crazy. In the wintertime, horses were always penned up. And when you took them out, they'd make a break. And because they wanted to run, and it used to be a son of a gun, they'd run down the hill. We were on a hill, and then you have to go down and try to get them back again. By the time you got to school, you'd been running forever, it seemed like. So we were in pretty good shape anyway. As far as the grade school is concerned, I remember all the teachers and so on, but I don't remember that they had a big impact on me. I guess I was kind of a poor guy in some ways. If I liked the teacher, I was very good. If I didn't like the teacher, I was not so good. And I used to, I remember in the sixth grade, the teacher, her name was Rose Staley. She had fifth and sixth grade, and she was noted to be a kind of a tough teacher and wasn't very good looking, and I didn't particularly like her. So I would study, and I always got good grades. I would study, but I'd get through when you had your study time, and then I'd start horsing around a bit. Well, she got so she was pretty down on me. So she took and put her desk. These aisles were coming like that. She put her desk, so the corner of her desk was right in the aisle, and she was looking right over at me. And one day, the kid behind me, in those days we had these inkwells and the pens you dipped in, he took this pen and he stuck me right in the seat between the crack there where it folds up, and I went right over. I never could explain to her what the heck was going on. My dad had to come down. She put me in the hall for about 2 weeks, where I had to study there and then come recite to her. But it seemed to me it was a little unreasonable.
Did you do much reading during that time, or were you more interested in outdoor activities?
I never did much reading. I did my studying that I had to do, but our family was not a... they were academic, I suppose, for that time, at least as far as out there in Minnesota. They both had... mother had graduated from high school. They hadn't gone to college. Dad, I think, only went through eighth grade. In those days, they had these country schools, and they taught... Both Dad and Ma taught in country schools and so on. Mother came from a pretty well-educated family. Dad, not so much, I think. They were farmers and so on. And there wasn't a lot of encouragement to go to college. I think the reason we went to college, at least the first ones, my older brothers, is because they were good football players, and people came and encouraged them to go to college so they'd play football. You see, by the time I came along, it was understood I was going to go to college. It was just a thing you did in the family. My oldest brother, Chet, they tried to get him to go to Carleton College, which is a good college out there. The folks didn't want him to go out of town, so he went to the Mankato State Teachers College instead of going to Carleton, which I thought was a grave mistake. When my next brother, Delbert, they got him to go to McAllister College, and all of us went to McAllister College after that. I was the third along the line. I was the first one, though, that sort of did a little more academic, scientific approach. I think, I really thought I was going to try to be a doctor, get an MD degree, and of course you had to take scientific stuff if you were going to do that.
How early did that thought begin?
Well, I guess it was, it certainly was by junior high school, I know that, and probably was even before that. Well, before that, you just took what they told you to take. There wasn't any decisions to be made, more or less, when you went to grade school at that time. Kind of a funny thing happened. You had to take Latin to get into medical school in those days. So I was taking Latin in junior high school, ninth grade or so on. Then I went over to high school, which was in a different building in a different part of town. And The Latin teacher that I had had in junior high school by that time was the principal at the high school. Well, I signed up for Cicero, and I used to have to work hard on this doggone Latin. I'm not very good at foreign languages. And I took that for about 2 weeks, and I got to thinking to myself, what the heck? Why take this Cicero? What good is it going to do me in the end anyway? So I went down to see Brzezinski, who was the principal. I told him I didn't really feel like I was doing the best thing for myself taking this Cicero. Well, he said, Wood, you ought to take chemistry. He says, chemistry is very important in industry. It's very important training. Why don't you drop your Latin and take chemistry? Which is kind of interesting, because he's a Latin teacher. And yet he told me that. So I dropped it and shifted. And that probably did have a pretty big influence, because they had a teacher named Lang. She was a woman. She was a good teacher. And I got interested in chemistry. It was a lot easier for me for some reason than Latin, and so on. And then I took physics and so on. Well, you had to have those to get into medical school too. So that's sort of how I got started in chemistry and so on. But my major interest was athletics and football and track and basketball and stuff like that. I played I made letters in all of them and played all the time. And then I was interested in big bands and dancing and stuff like that. I was a good student, but I made the honor roll and so on. But mainly, I guess I was just thinking, okay, I'll get into medicine. Well, it turned out the depression was so bad that it was impossible for me to go to medical school. Maybe it wasn't impossible, but at least I decided I couldn't do it. So I went to McAllister, and there majored in chemistry and mathematics and so on.
Had your older brothers done any science work?
No, they hadn't. It's sort of interesting. There's a break in the family right at me. I got a PhD, and then my brother Earl, who came after me, got a PhD MD in physiology at the University of Minnesota, and then my youngest brother Abe got a MD degree. And Louise was between Earl and myself. Well, she didn't go into science, but it was sort of a break right there. My oldest brother, it was kind of amusing. He took shop and mechanical drawing and forge and stuff like that. He got I guess they called it a technical degree from Mankato High School. Buck was more, he took a sort of a general course. I used to envy him. I went to McAllister, and he was a senior, and he was the captain of the football team, and I was a freshman. And he'd go up, we worked for our board and room. I was actually peeling potatoes and stuff for my board. We paid for our room. It was just board. He'd go up and take a nap after we got through work, and I'd have to go over and work in the chemistry lab and so on, and then go out for football, and he'd been sleeping for 2 hours. I thought, doggone, pretty soft life he's got.
Could you tell me something about, let me ask you this first. When was it that you gave up the idea of medicine and decided to concentrate on chemistry?
I don't know. I think it was sort of by the time I got to be a sophomore at college. You see, the depression really hit around 29 and so on. And I graduated in 27. And when this big thing hit, My dad was a real estate man, sold land and so on. One of the few that didn't really go bankrupt and so on, because a lot of them had loans on their farms that they were going to sell, and they got caught in the middle and so on. It was obvious that my dad couldn't send me to medical school. By the time Earl came along, which was about 5 years later, they could help him some, and well, actually, he got a fellowship in physiology over at Minnesota, and took a combined PhD MD, so that helped as well. So I got married in college, which was very unusual in those days. Probably the best thing that ever happened to me in a way, because I really got down to business after that. When I was a sophomore, I was crazy about this gal, and of course she was taking an easy courses, and I was taking this tougher stuff where you had to go to lab and so on. I was out for football or out for this or that, and the time to study was pretty limited. And she and some of the other gals and boys would come over and holler up at me in my room, and I'm supposed to be studying, and off I'm going, you see. Well, I damn near flunked a course in integrated calculus and so on. But we got married that summer. It was rather amusing. I had to go to talk to the president about whether we could continue and so on. There were lots of married kids, but they lived in Minneapolis and St. Paul. They weren't on campus, you see. And he said, well, okay, just so you don't have any visitors to your room. We just had a single room and so on. So, and Millie's folks paid for her education, and it was only $87.50 for tuition, and then I worked for my board even then, in the room close by. And I had, well, the chemistry professor. He liked me, and I think he realized that we were married and needed help, and so he gave me a job correcting papers and filling up reagent bottles and so on. And then I was a representative of a clothing store down in St. Paul. So every once in a while they'd come out to the dorm, and I'd get up and give a little talk, and then they'd show their wares, and I'd come down there on, I guess I went down on Fridays. I couldn't have gone down on Saturdays because we played football and so on. So I got a little money there between all of these things. I actually came out of debt, Ed. Before that, I had been in debt.
Can you tell me something about the chemistry department? How many faculty?
Well, there were, as I remember it, there were only about three. The ones I remember was the physical guy that taught physical chemistry. He was a pretty, well, he was working for his PhD at the time, and he was a pretty good teacher, pretty tough. Dean Jones, who was also the chairman of the professor, at least, of chemistry. He was a nice guy, but he didn't teach what I considered a good chemistry course. I knew he didn't teach a good chemistry course when I got to Iowa State and started taking some chemistry. I was very, very chagrined at how little I knew about what chemistry was. And this guy just didn't. Nice guy, but he wasn't teaching a very advanced course in chemistry. I think the guy that had the most influence on me was the professor of biology. Walters was his name, O.T. Walters. And I took microbiology and took comparative anatomy and so on from him.
Is there any reason why you took biology courses?
Well, he had an in at first. Well, he had an in at getting students from McAllister into Minneapolis or into Minnesota, for one thing. And he was known as a good teacher. So when I took some of those, I was still thinking I might go into medicine. So I took this comparative anatomy and stuff like that from him. But I was still fully planning on, when things turned around at least, going into chemistry. It was sort of interesting because I applied for fellowships in chemistry all over. Well, not all over, but probably 10 places or some such number. I don't know for sure. Now, Walters was, he would look at my applications, even though they were in chemistry, and give me advice as to how to phrase it and so on. Well, then it was kind of amusing because it turned out very decisive. He, one time when I was in there, he reached up and he pulled down a book and he said, "Why don't you apply here?" It was Iowa State College, and this was a book by Buchanan, who was the chairman of that department. And well, I had liked microbiology when I took it from Walters. Well, I said, okay. And I kind of slopped through that one and sent it down there. And that's the only one that was successful. The chemistry ones were not successful. And the fact of the matter is that I rode on the streetcar over to the ag campus at Minnesota. They were separated, still are, I guess, but they're more combined now. And there's an eminent biochemist named Gartner who was there. And I went over to see Gartner to see if he could, I could get a fellowship there. And he said, if you come for a year and make a success of it, I'll guarantee you a fellowship the second year. And I said, okay, that's settled, I'm coming. Gosh, I got off the streetcar when I got back, and here was Millie with a letter in her hand, and that was the acceptance from Iowa State College. $540 for 9 months. $450 for $50 a month. Of course, you got your tuition free and so on. So just like that, I changed from chemistry, which I think had a big impact because the microbiology that Workman was specializing in was really intermediary metabolism, which in those days was just nicely getting going. And so my studies and research was really in the intermediate. Should we stop?
I understand.